Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19. We'll read verses 11 through 27 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And let's finish on verse 27 together. Ready? But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the influence that it has here in this area. Lord, most of all, thank you that your presence is here. Lord, help us as we go through this life. May the influence of our church, not for pride's sake, but for influence's sake for you, may it reach this country far and wide. Lord, as we get ready for Old Paths and our other conferences that we have, but even what we do here, just knocking on doors, meeting people that come this way. Father, be with our preacher tonight. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'll teach or preach a lesson that I've entitled Socialism is Not God's Plan or It's Not God's Way. I refer back now to the passage of Scripture that we all read together earlier from Luke chapter 19. Jesus is the one that is teaching here in this passage. Here's the story. A nobleman needs to travel to a foreign country to receive an inheritance. It was called an inheritance of a king. Before he goes away, he calls 10 of his servants together and he gives each of them some money. He tells them to invest it or to trade it until he returns. He then goes to that far country, he gets his inheritance, and the nobleman returns home. He calls for the servants. He asks them to come and give him a report about how much money they had gained for him with their trading while he was gone. The first servant comes, and the first servant says in verse number 16, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. The nobleman's response was, in verse number 17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Then the second servant came in verse number 18, and says, Lord, thy pounds have gained 5 pounds. The nobleman's response was, in verse number 19, and he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. A third servant came to him in verse number 20 and verse number 21 and said, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. The nobleman's response was to his failure. He said in verse number 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Jesus clearly teaches that the man who gained 10 pounds was to be commended. He commended the man that gained 5 pounds. He'd be really happy with me. I think I gained about 50 lately. But it's very obvious here that Jesus commended the man that had gained 10 pounds. He commended the man that had gained 5 pounds, but the man who made no profit is referred to as thou wicked servant. Now we'll come back to that teaching in just a little while. Now what is socialism? Webster's Dictionary, and you might be able to sort through it. I'll read to you what Webster's Dictionary says. Any of various social systems based on shared or government ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods and capital. Now, you say, what? Let me explain it a little simpler. Socialism basically says do away with private ownership of business and property. That's a big part of what socialism is. A socialist wants the government to own and operate the primary businesses and agencies of the country. The government then distributes the wealth evenly or as they see fit among the people. You say, that sounds a lot like communism. Well, it is. It is a lot like communism. It is the pre-step to communism. It is it's communism's grandson, if you will. The main difference is that communism will take over property and business by force and bloodshed, where the socialists do it through politics and scheming. Who is the father of communism? I think Karl Marx. And so you know, Marx with his atheist, and communism is an atheist doctrine. Communist once said to a Baptist preacher, he said, you see that man over there? Communism can put a new suit on that man. The Baptist preacher said to the communist, he said, you see that man over there? Christianity can put a new man in that suit. Do you know what Russia was called? It was the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That's what USSR stood for. Did you know one of the purposes in communism is to eliminate God from the people's thinking altogether? And you have to understand, communism and socialism, they're kin. Socialism and communism are close brothers. Marx is the father. Karl Marx is the father of both. They both believe in taking money away from the man who earns it and give it to the fellow who does not earn it. It's the Robin Hood syndrome. You take from the rich and you give to the poor. I'm not against giving to the poor. We do that. But there's a right and a wrong way of doing it. They both believe, communism and socialism, they both believe that the government should own and run basically everything. Don't let anybody make very much money. Develop a dependent society. Dependent on who? Not God. Dependent on the government. The government then basically hands out money in a variety of ways, which in turn will buy votes, which in turn keeps corruption in office. The Bible opposes socialism. The Bible opposes communism. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It kills me that I would have to preach a sermon like this in America. I never would have thought that I would have to warn America about communism and the strong possibility of socialism. Socialism is the current direction in politics today. But I say to you, it is not a biblical form of leadership. I'm going to show you that this evening. I wish young people, so you know, you say, ah, this doesn't interest me. You better let it interest you. This is your country. We're going to hand this baby over to you someday, and I hope you'll have the guts, the backbone, the common sense, and the scriptural sense to know what to do with the country once we give it to you. I can tell you a bunch of people in my generation have been idiots and didn't know what to do with it. They handed us many years ago a strong America that the whole world respected, and now we've got a mess on our hands. A lot of it has to do with the doctrine that I'm going to share with you tonight, the false doctrine. Let me say, first of all, number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. I said the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. This is very strongly expressed in the Ten Commandments, for instance. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15 says, thou shalt not steal. Well, we're not to steal property. How do we get it? We earn it. If I steal from you, you must have owned what was stolen. So that in itself teaches that we are to own our property. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, listen to this. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now understand something. The ox and the ass would have been like a tractor, would have been like a plow, would have been like a truck. Now here God commands you and I that we are not to covet other people's property. We are to earn our own and want our own. But I can't covet your property if it's not yours. You see, it says here, I'm not to covet somebody else's house. It didn't say the government's houses. It says I'm not to covet another individual's house. I'm not to covet somebody else's servant. I'm not to covet somebody else's ox. I'm not to covet somebody else's ass. I'm not to do that. What's God saying? Some individual owns that, and you go get your own and own your own, and don't you try to covet something that somebody else has earned, and it's their property. See, the Bible teaches ownership of private property. All the way through the Old Testament, we see God ordaining private ownership by the individual. The same is true all the way through the New Testament. You see it, you see God talk about it, allude to it, even give it to us as a challenge. Socialism teaches that it is better for property to be owned by the government, not by individuals. But socialism is not biblical. So I said, number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for an individual to experience profit. I said, number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for an individual to experience profit. We go back to the passage of Scripture that we read from Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 27. Remember the story of the nobleman and his servants. Jesus makes it clear that the one who earned profit was good and successful. God praised them. Jesus praised them for earning profit. Jesus praised them for advancing themselves. Socialistic thinkers speak as if personal profit or gain is wrong or sinful. You go out and make a bunch of money, work hard, and become a success, and they think you're evil. I am very sorry, that is not true. God rewards hard work. Any man or system who attempts to restrain personal profit is doing so contrary to Bible teaching. In the parable of the sower found in Luke chapter 8, we're not going to go read it all, but in the parable of the sower found in Luke chapter 8, Jesus clearly shows that men should expect profit from their labor. He tells about a farmer who sowed seed, and he speaks of the results. Listen to this verse. Luke chapter 8, verse number 8 says this, and other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, it's not wrong, but it's right if a farmer can get his seed back 100 times over. The least increase taught here was 30-fold, maybe as much as 3,000% increase. It all depends on how you figure this. You see, this passage of Scripture says it was good that a farmer was able to increase his business 100-fold. This teaches that people are to individually invest, individually earn, and keep profit from their investment. Currently, in America, it's a proven fact that our government takes outrageous amounts of money and taxes away from individually owned successful businesses. You know what happens then? That discourages private enterprise and profit. It's unscriptural. It destroys economies. This is also very dangerous for our economy. It makes it unattractive for individuals to start new businesses and for individuals to want their businesses to succeed. Why? If everything you make, they take away from you and say, well, we're going to give it to all the poor people. Why should the rich people do anything? It's good and right to work hard, and God teaches that, and God said, I will reward you for hard work. I like this. A socialistic politician at a recent rural elementary school assembly in East Texas asked the audience for total quiet. Then, in the silence, he started to slowly clap his hands, once every few seconds holding the audience in total silence. Then he said into the microphone, children, every time I clap my hands together, a child in America dies from starvation. I have the answer in what we call socialism. Then little Richard Earle, with a proud East Texas drawl, pierced the quiet and said, well, mister, I got a better answer, stupid. Why don't you just stop clapping your hands? Children are smarter than some politicians, if you ask me. That's the way the boy saw it. I say to you this evening, number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for an individual to experience profit. Number three, the Bible clearly teaches it is right to save money, to invest money, and to get wealth. We are not to worship money. The love of money is the root of all evil. But wait a minute. God teaches investment. God teaches return. God doesn't say that that's bad or evil. God promises riches and honor can come to those who serve Him. He promises that. I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter number 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is talking about an individual. God said, if you will honor God with your substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase, it's talking about the tithe and offering all everything you make. God said, I can bless you and fill your barns and meet all your needs. That's basically capitalism right there. Socialism wants to reward everybody evenly. If it wasn't in the Bible, let me tell you something. I wouldn't like socialism. I've worked at plenty of places of employment where I got a bunch of lazy bums that are just hiding from the boss all the time we're there. I paid many a man's paycheck for years. Because I went into work and I worked hard from the moment I got there until the time would go home. I did what needed to be done. I know many people that got a paycheck because somebody worked hard. But it wasn't them. And so I don't like socialism even if it were not against the Bible. I think a man ought to earn his keep if he's a man. He's got to be dependent on a system to protect him because he's a lazy goat. There's a problem. Suck it up, bud. Earn your way. That's what men do. I love saying stuff like that. Socialism wants to reward everybody evenly. God does not. God says much effort, much reward. Little effort, little reward. The socialistic leader wants to take God's place in people's lives. He wants to be considered the provider and the one that determines what justice is. But God's the only one that is to determine what justice is, and God is the one that understands what freedom is. And God also makes it very, very clear to us what right and wrong is. And so, this is what we've said thus far. Number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for an individual to experience profit. Number three, the Bible clearly teaches it is right to save money, to invest money, and to get wealth. Now, number four, the Bible teaches that families are to take care of their own. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, how? By way of their own labor. By way of their earnings, by way of their savings, by way of their wealth. I don't know, most people would like this verse cut out of the Bible, but the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, then he provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Folks, it is our job. It's Jeff Owens' job to take care of Jeff Owens' household. Every man in here, it's your job to take care of your household. It's not the government's job. Lazy society would love to have somebody come in and do it all for them. Those lazy societies fall apart. Socialism says let the government take care of things. The less dependent you and I are on a system or a government, the better off you are. The better off you are. So the Bible teaches families are to take care of their own. Number five. The Bible teaches the concept of sowing and reaping. And so you know, for some of you, you're totally lost. Everything I'm saying is biblical, and it opposes what socialism is. What God says opposes what socialism is. That's why each one of these points apply to the false doctrine of socialism. I said number five, the Bible teaches sowing and reaping. We've all heard the verse time and time again. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's taught in the Bible. One who works harder will get more, according to the Bible. That's how God planned it. One who works less receives less. So I think everybody ought to receive even. You're lazy. I don't think it ought to be based on whether you're a man or a woman, the color of your skin, where you came from. You're to work hard and you earn what you get. And if you can't work as hard as the next guy, tough luck, Charlie. Boy, that is unpopular. That's one reason why we don't televise what I preach. The idea that all shall receive equal is not found anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. That destroys success. Second, let me say this. I'm not against a union. But the union has to protect you because you won't work hard. You're a lazy rascal too. Your union may be your socialism if you're not careful, buddy. Hey, unions, I think, can serve a great purpose. But if you hide behind a union and somebody else is doing all the hard work and you're letting a system protect you, don't say amen to what I'm saying about a socialistic government. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. But they're busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Notice, no work, no eat. And it said, eat your own bread. Eat your own bread. That means you earned it. You went out, you earned the money, you took your money to a grocery store that belonged to another man, and that's how he earns his money, and you exchange your money for his bread, then you go home and you eat your bread that you earn. That's not hard to understand. Men are to be paid according to their merit or their worth to society, not according to their need, which is Marxism.
Right.
Folks, I hate to tell you, when you get to heaven, there will be a time of reward. When you get to heaven, not everybody's getting the same. Now, heaven's going to be wonderful. I don't know exactly how God will do it, but it is very obvious that when we get to heaven, there will be manifold blessing and reward, and not everybody gets the same. Even to the point that if you don't get saved, you're really going to be in trouble. You will go to hell. Everybody's not treated the same. Socialism opposes scriptural teaching of sowing and reaping. You sow, you reap. You work hard, you get return. So, this is what we have said thus far. Number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and it is right for an individual to experience profit. Number three, the Bible clearly teaches it is right to save money, to invest money, and to get wealth. Number four, it teaches that families are to take care of their own. I'll throw this in here. Families are to take care of their own. The church was given a command to help feed the poor. We're supposed to be helping with that. Then number five, the Bible teaches sowing and reaping. And number six, socialism hurts the character of the people of the country. Socialism hurts the character of the people of the country. We could turn the poverty level around in America. Say how? Hard work. Stop giving somebody something for nothing. Let them earn it. I was tickled to death when the snowstorm hit Washington, D.C. I actually heard an announcement on the news of Washington, D.C. If somebody wanted to earn a little money, they could go down and start shoveling the sidewalks in Washington, D.C. to earn a few bucks. Let them pick up all their benefits right after they shovel. It turned the character of a country around. Socialism hurts the character of people. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. See, if socialism's in place, why would anybody want to improve themselves? See, socialism says, we're all going to get an even cut. I don't want an even cut. I like getting up early. I like staying up late. I like sweating. I like working. Just so you know, around here, you work for me, you work. You ask anybody that works around here, we're hopping. This place is a moving place. When you tie to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you're getting your money's worth. My staff doesn't work 40 hours a week. Most of them work 80, 90, and 100 hours a week. This is not a socialistic place. We mean business around here. It's the work of God. It's not a picnic. We don't golf all day, 3 days a week. We work. We work hard. We get up early. We put in our time. We make something happen. This church, it just doesn't all fall into place. A lot of hard work goes into this place. Churches like this don't happen by accident. God doesn't walk in with spoofle dust and say, let me take care of all of it. No, He said, you do your part, I'll do mine. But let me tell you, socialism hurts the character of people. You know, if we give everybody evenly, then why should anybody work hard? Let's just let the character drop to whatever the bottom is. Whatever the bottom level of character is what we could all drop to, because, look, if we're all going to be treated evenly, before long, you've got the character of a society. Why would anyone want to achieve? We're all going to be treated that way. Socialism kills initiative. Why would anyone strive for excellence? Why would anyone want to work long hours? Socialism creates laziness. Socialism will keep people from fulfilling their potential. Your potential is an incredible thing. You ought to say, well, I'm doing as well as anybody else. Where did you learn to do as well as anybody else? You are to be everything that you can be for God. There's some of you, you're nowhere near fulfilling your potential. I'll tell you why. You're almost socialistic in your attitude toward your own personal pride. As long as you're doing as well as anybody else in your Christian life, you think you're fine. You're to give God all of you. One thing we can do, hey, your potential may not be like my potential, but you can give as much of you to God as I can give of me to God. Why would anybody want to work long hours if everybody's going to be treated the same? Why would anybody want to achieve if everybody's going to be treated the same? Do you understand how you're going to gut society's character? Again, socialism creates laziness, apathy. It has been proven worldwide that factories owned and operated by socialistic governments will produce less than factories owned by an individual. It's a proven fact. Right now, in our country, we see socialistic talk. We see socialistic tendencies. Folks, be careful. You may say, well, I really like for the old government to take care of everything for me. Believe me, they will take care of everything for you.
Yes, sir.
They will take you over. I'm a firm believer in the Bible. This country functioned and became the greatest country on the face of the earth, and it was not socialism that brought us here. It was not socialism that brought us here. This country has been deteriorating in the last many years. Am I shocked that socialism comes on the scene? Socialism's not the savior. It'll help take us down further. I think of some of the men, I like to hear some of the men here at this church that work 40 and 50 years at the same factory. I love to hear them talk. Talk about no excuses. Went to work. Today, we want more time off and more pay. More time off. Give me more time off. Give me more benefits. Give me. I tell you what. There were people that survived the Depression. I'll guarantee a bunch of those were some of the most hardest working people you ever seen in your life. You better learn to work hard. Don't be looking for a free ride from everybody all the time. Now, we pay taxes to our government. And I'm good with that. I mean, there's a certain benefit that they provide. But that is to be limited. You and I are to work hard and make our way. Socialism is not God's plan for a country, especially a country great like the United States of America. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening,